It's day two of the Great Yorkshire Show 2011, and Leslie Furman and Francesca Furman have once again kindly actually ferried me up here so I can actually sort of do some kind of reporting here. But most importantly, we've got Lou Bevan with us. Lou, how are you?
Morning, Sam. Very well indeed. It's a gorgeous morning. Quite organised getting here, which is a nice omen, so let's hope that the rest of the day within the showground is just as good.
I'm sure it will be. We've talked about this every year, really, Lou, in terms of weather, when it's either too hot, too cold, or indeed watery and various other bits and pieces. Today, pretty much perfect weather for the animals and so on.
I think we've got exactly the same as we got at Lincoln, which is perfect, slight cloud cover, a bit of sun, be perfect for the animals. If it rains, we go inside. It's simple, yeah.
Leaping Lorenzo back with us again, of course, you see from the front cover. So I think something that Leslie and Francesca can be amazed at later on today.
Yeah, now, he's on all 3 days. Fine, because I'm quite surprised. We know how brilliant he is because we saw him 2 years ago. I saw the TV clips last night. I'm very surprised. There must be some rules that he's not allowed to be shown because he wasn't shown on TV last night, so I'd be interested to find out what the story is there.
Right, we might chase that up. Anyway, Francesca, any questions that you've got for Lou at this stage, as he is our country expert today?
What's your favourite part of this show?
Why do I get that question? All of it. This is a Yorkshire big county, big agricultural show. This is about the agricultural industry and all the other things that tie onto it. It's not just you're going to see cattle, sheep, pigs, we know, but the spin-offs from all of those industries. If you're open-minded today, you're going to be able to see everything.
Leslie.
How long have you been covering the show, Lou?
Right, my first time here was before you were born. 1967. I was at Thomas Danby College in Leeds. As young chefs, we had a venue here where we prepared food. I'm not quite sure for which upper echelon of the attending public, but I do know I got sacked 35 times in one day for being in the livestock tent instead of being in the catering tent.
You're just trying to source the next generation, that's all.
Yeah, but when you think back, that's a lot of years, and I think I've been covering on and off here with Southside now for probably 6 or 8 years, so we know pretty well our way round.
Excellent. So I suppose if you were obviously in the cattle show, you were just looking like for fresh meat to prepare rather than any of the packaged stuff that you can get.
It's nice actually when we go round just to you see meat either in a butcher shop, in a supermarket, etc. It's nice to explain to people, looking at the different shapes of animals, whether they be designed for dairy animals to give milk or whether they're designed to be beef animals. I would hope that by the end of the day, you'll have a rough idea of the overall shape that you're looking for. It's very simple once you've had it explained, when you're looking for a rectangular beast or you're looking for a triangular beast, and you will see this later today.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. It's so true that when you come to somewhere like this, how much you can learn. Because, you know, that's just not in,
it's
my background.
It's not an average dancer's repertoire, is it? And as far as scout leads is concerned, well, why would you know that? Too much time spent at car maintenance.
But
setting Chinese lanterns alight. Sorry, Lou, I'm on a sort of roll here.
Don't go there, Alex. But no, seriously, no, that'd be fascinating to learn, Lou. And how long will that take you to sort of explain and for us to, you know, how many different beasts will we have to see to get a grasp of that?
Two.
Oh, is that
30 seconds. There's the answer to your second. Listen, if you were walking into an athletic meeting today, mm-hmm. and you saw a Linford Christie type character, yeah. 6'2", 14 and a half stone, muscles in his shoulders, then you were to see a Mo Farah, a classic 10,000 metre runner, weighs about 6.5 stone, ringing wet, hasn't got muscle in his entire body. One, two, you would know what a big sprinter looks like, you would know what a long distance runner looks like. With a dancer, you know various different things, somebody that specialises in this or in that.
For instance, I'm never going to be doing the pas de deux or the plié, am I, Lou? Let's face it.
In a word, no.
Exactly.
Right, your move. No, so once you've been taught the rule of thumb, you know it forever. As soon as a beast walks past you, you can say dairy, beef.
Fantastic.
If he's in the middle, easy. He's dual purpose. He does either. but you'll be able to see just in a few seconds the difference.
And we'll put that to the test in a few moments. You're listening to Southside Broadcasting on location in association with Ather & Co. and Pharma Nutritional Supplements from the Great Yorkshire Show 2011. Okay, we've actually made our way to the cattle area. And great news, Lou, fantastic news, because we've been following this family and team through the Newark & Notts show, through obviously the Lincolnshire show, indeed even before that, but it looks as though it's another winner for W&M Steels.
Yeah, this is the diva, the beast of the year. We're looking alongside her at Cadbury, that was the best beast of last year, and you can see just how much bigger, squarer. You know, Seals has thought with 17 wins out of 18 last year they'd hit the heights, but I'm afraid they're going to have to put a lot of petrol in the horse box, because they've got a lot of mileage to do this year, because this beast will have to go everywhere. And at the moment, if she's come here to what we consider to be the best show and she's won it, she's a pretty much a shoo-in for anywhere else that she goes.
Francesca, questions for yourself.
I was wondering, what do you think makes a winner in these animals?
Well, as we were talking earlier, these are being judged basically by butchers, because these are beef animals, which means that at the end of the day they're being bred to produce the finest cuts of meat and a lot more of the meat that we want. We have a saying with cattle, when you're near the ears, the cuts are cheaper. That's what we call the four-quarter beef. And when we get towards the tail, that's where the rump steaks and the sirloins are, which, as you know, is the more expensive. So you want a beast that's absolutely stacked with most meat in the right places. And at the moment, this particular breed are supreme in that respect.
You can actually see by looking at them, Lou, just the quality that they actually have. I mean, I know absolutely nothing about cattle and beef cattle, apart from what you're very kindly teaching me now. But you can actually look at them and actually identify that they are winners.
Yeah, I mean, this, we said how good Cadbury was last year. We'd not seen anything like her. And for them to, within one season, have bred Diva, who, by the way, if you look at the names, they have to name the cattle alphabetically. So every particular year, one year starts with A, and the next year they got to be B. So as you can see, last year, or 2 years ago, when Cadbury was born, the horse had to be born with the letter C, so she was Cadbury. The year later, we move on to the letter D, so all cattle have to be named D, hence that's how Diva got her name.
Sorry, is that just this company, this
breed?
Breed?
Or no, you'll find that all breeds, they don't necessarily tie in that all breeds within the same year, but they decided about 10, 20 years ago that it would be a good way, so that people could walk in and immediately see how old a beast was by the name. That's
so
right.
Like a car registration, in essence.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. The same thing. They do this so that you can have a look and say, my God, it's only a C, so it's only a two-year-old or only a three-year-old. And it's just a way that once, again, a little bit more knowledge for you there. Once you picked it up, you can walk down the line and say, just a minute, this one's called Freddy. So therefore he's only an F, he's this year's baby, look at the size of him. So all of a sudden, you've got you're looking for something extra.
Yes.
You're thinking, I know that, oh my God, look at him for a baby, a calf, and he's standing this high already. So
earlier, Lou, we will have heard, listen, I might have actually heard the sound of the hairdryers being used now. I was particularly surprised my first time around a good few years ago now about why people were actually using hairdryers to prepare the cattle. Just explain why.
Right, well, you see the young lady with the curry comb now?
Yes.
She's virtually backcombing the back end of the beast.
Yes.
That's where the money is.
Yes.
Right? So all these beasts will have had their heads shaven, literally shaven, to make the head look as small as possible. Then they apply the beeswax and backcomb it so that the eggs, but you make them look bigger where you want the butcher to see more meat.
Exactly.
The cheaper cuts, you'll shave them down to nothing. The front ends, four quarters.
Yes.
Because we're not interested in a big heavy four-quarter. That's meat, but it's meat where the money ain't.
Yes.
We want the money to be on the button, which is the back end. So hence you'll see the back combing now. They use beeswax on the coat to make it stay.
Uh-huh.
And we make the hind end cuts, the hindquarter meat, we make that look as big as possible. And that's exactly as Alex pointed out there. We're here, if you come early, the hairdryers are going and going and going. Get them nice and fluffy. Actually, they do it mainly on the male animals. The female animals, you want elegance, but you just have to look at these two and look at the backsides on them. They're absolutely dripping with muscle meat, which is what the butchers want.
Yes. I didn't realise that there was so much involved. You know, of course you wouldn't, a layman wouldn't, but this is absolutely fascinating stuff.
This is the tip of the iceberg. You see, look how they're standing quiet.
Yes.
That's taken a year of training.
Right.
Go and get it every day, put the head collar on it, tie her up. Take her out, walk around the paddock, because these have got to go out into the ring later on, where they've got to be well behaved.
Yes.
This is absolutely the, you know what you say about the tip of the iceberg, what you can see. Well, this is it. This is the nine tenths has got over water. They've got to be bred impeccably. You can't cheat. You won't cheat the judges. If they haven't got the muscle there, they won't get the prizes. I mean, these were planned before they were born.
Wow.
And this is now the result.
You mentioned that the train to stand. What about when they're in the ring? What are the judges actually looking for? I mean, obviously they're looking for the size of the meat produce and so on. But what else are they looking for in the way that the animals perform, as it were?
Movement. Perfect movement. Remember, in a normal world, these would have to go out and live in a field. They need good feet. They need to walk around. They need to be absolutely perfect physical specimens. They don't just want something that looks well hanging up in the butcher shop. If it's unable to walk around in the field during its life, no good. So you want something that's athletic, that flows, that moves well. You're looking at the whole picture when you're looking out in the ring. Here, we're close up, we're just looking at one particular part, but in the ring, they're looking at everything.
Okay, we've made our way from the Blonde Aquitaines and the award-winning WM Seals to the next part of this fabulous part of the Great Yorkshire Show area, and we're now lucky enough to be speaking to...
Carolyn Fletcher.
Carolyn, good to touch base with your good self. Share with us, what are you doing today?
Well, we've got a quiet day today. Yesterday, we were showing Herefords here.
Now, obviously, we've looked at a whole range of sort of the cattle from the Belted Galloways right the way through to the Blonde Aquitaines, etc. What is it that makes Herefords special and unique?
Herefords are one of the oldest beef breeds in this country. They are the beef, well, they're the roast beef of Old England, the traditional roast beef of Old England. They're worldwide cattle. They are extensive in North America and Canada and South America. All the original seed stock there came from this country.
Which is fantastic, and it makes you feel very patriotic to actually have them here. So how have they been doing in the show season so far?
Well, I've had a very quiet show season because I haven't been well myself, so I haven't been doing a lot. But it's been fabulous show season for the breed. We've had a lot of interbreed championships, and the breed's really on the up.
We started off, obviously, with the Newark and Notts show, followed it through to the Lincolnshire show. Here we are at the Great Yorkshire show. Did you partake of the Royal Highland show as well?
I was at the Royal Highland as well, which is a tremendous show.
So, overall, as Great Yorkshire show, the demise of the Royal is very much the largest show in England as far as agriculture is concerned. Is the magic still here?
The magic's here. The Royal did have a very special magic, very special place. And, to be honest, as a stock person, I really miss that.
And just from your own perspective, how far have you come today to actually be at the Great Yorkshire?
I've come from Appleby, Cumbria.
So kind of cross-country in many ways, really.
Yes, but it's one of the nearest shows we go to for the major shows.
And Cumbrian show, will that be on your agenda later on?
The Cumberland show actually won't be because it's literally this Saturday, which makes it a bit tight.
Exactly so. Fantastic. Well, we wish you all the very best for the rest of the thing. Presumably you'll be taking part in the cattle parade later on?
Yes, probably, yes.
Exactly, fantastic. Excellent. I think my colleagues are obviously sort of taken by the other Belted Galloways for the moment. Many thanks indeed, and thanks for your time.
Okay, you're very welcome.
We have kept Carolyn for a few more moments because I think it's only right and important that we can actually grab a few more words with her. She's currently having a major chat with Leslie. I'll just interject. Carolyn, just holding you back again once again because you just astound me. I thought it was initially just the one Herefordshire, but of course you've got three breeds here.
Three breeds of cattle. I haven't got three breeds here, but I breed three breeds. Aberdeen Angus and Belted Galloways, as well as the Herefords.
And Lou, you actually flagged up a key thing with respect to the absence of horns at birth.
Not so much the absence of horns, but what I'm very, very proud to say is they're all native breeds and we are now at last getting back onto the native bloodlines. You know, a lot of the beef companies now are insisting, several are killing 2 and 3 days a week, and they're wanting native bloodlines only. We've talked about marbling within the flesh, We can't see it, obviously, because they've got the jackets on. But I can assure you that if we were looking at a section through a sirloin or a rump or a rib off these animals, we would see marbling second. We could go and look at all the great big continental breed champions. We wouldn't see marbling as we would see on either of these three breeds.
So thumbs up in every way, shape, form. And I have to say as well, we always used to recognise Lou Bevan by his hat, but you obviously raised the issue that it's your hat as well, Carolyn, that sort of marks
well.
It out too.
Yes, my hat as well is my trademark.
Fantastic.
Yes, mine's slightly battered now, as you'll see, but it's done a lot of work over the years.
Well, I think, Carolyn, we'll hopefully come over to Cumbria in the not-too-distant future and touch base with you there. Good luck with the rest of the season. Francesca, any other questions you want to put, or any questions you'd like to put to Carolyn here?
Have you got a favourite breed?
Everyone asks me that. The three breeds are all so different. I think the Hereford is the most placid. They're wonderful. Anybody really can handle a Hereford. They do have a stubborn streak, but they're very, very placid. The Belted Galloways have a lot of character and let you know about it, but they're fun.
I was just wondering, Caroline, do you get emotionally attached to your animals?
You do. I sell my own beef as well. I'm very pragmatic about that. But my show cattle and my special cattle are, yes, I get very emotionally attached to them.
We'll be giving you two thumbs up when you're in the cattle parade later on, Carolyn. Many thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.